Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Now, truth be told, this is the first episode I've recorded for season 6 as my three computers are blasting away frames in there. Some of these frames are taking over 2 hours a pop. Crazy. So it'll turn out pretty cool. Okay, today's episode, which you've already seen the title, is I almost wish I could hide the title until after it kind of gets to a few minutes, but then again, you wouldn't click on it. What if you were the controlling elite of this world? By elite, we mean pedophile, psychopath, Satanists. And you wanted to change the world. You wanted a problem, reaction, solution mechanism to continue and continue and continue. And in order to get a ever increasingly educated group of people, although there seems to be an ample amount of uneducated people to support you, you needed them to believe that was everything was the opposite of what it really is. And you needed them strung out on a bunch of things that are just completely false, but entertaining, to sort of gain credibility with the people. So you can vent certain historical claims to the past that make a particular group of people feel good. But then you need to launch one faux science after another to convince the people that they have problems that they don't have, that the world has problems, like physical problems, climate problems, freshwater problems, all these problems, problems, problems. And let's just say that you were a person who really, really likes smart people, intelligent people, people who think for themselves and create wonderful things. You love what they create. And you would love to be as intelligent as they are, but learning, that's for suckers. Studying, well, I don't quite get it. I got a degree in one thing that has nothing to do with any of this other stuff. And so I feel like because I've got a degree in this other thing, I don't need to do any research on other things. What I'm describing is the platform of their wish for society today. I'm not sure what they call it. When they are able to create one of these people, to convert someone who perhaps 20 years ago wasn't this way, and today they are on overcharge in this particular direction of what I'm going to call the stupid expert, or stupid experts, plural. They're all over the place, aren't they? And depending on your background, it's either very easy to find a stupid expert, or maybe you're just more cautious, more intelligent, and even, well, which leads to the idea that if you don't know something, you don't chime in that you do. You might repeat what you've heard, but you keep it at arm's length and go, well, you know, I'm not an expert in that. I haven't been able to stop my life and do research in it, but I did hear from some folks that are fairly well received in terms of original thinking, that sort of thing, and they seem to disagree a little bit. So I don't know. Either one of those positions is healthy. You either have the expertise or you're cautious. You don't believe everything that you're told. Now, I was told a definition when I was young of the word stupid. And I was taught the difference between the word stupid and ignorant. Ignorance is predominantly an innocent perspective of a particular subject. Could be life, could be a particular science. And what that means is you simply haven't heard anything about that. A stupid person is much different in a nice, subtle way. They have been shown the truth, at least perhaps in the most cynical form. They have been shown several things that could be the truth, and they simply choose to ignore all the empirical evidence that matches observable reality in order to go for perhaps what is viewed as the most popular perspective, of a particular piece of science or information. Now there's the word dumb, which is a little bit different in my take of life. For me, dumb would be a person who may lack the genetic ability to absorb information and ever understand it. I think those people are extremely rare. Sometimes it's due to abuse and trauma by which their mind is so preoccupied with PSD algorithms of previous experiences that new information has a hard time making it through the constant defense mechanism to fight off the demons from the past. And again, PTSD is a traumatized event that is lost in time. However, the horrific effect of the trauma is still affecting the human being. So they can feel the trauma in their chest. They can feel it in their person. It could get in the way of speaking clearly. Perhaps a person who stutters might have had something traumatic happen. They tried to express themselves and there was always someone there to interrupt them, abuse them. So they never quite feel comfortable just speaking clearly. Because when you can get someone who is kind of on the fence between stuttering and not stuttering, and if you can make them feel comfortable, they tend to sing a song beautifully with every word they speak, and it's perfect. And then usually they can conquer their stuttering by manifesting that feeling in themselves, right? So I rarely use the word dumb in any true context. You know, we might say, oh, that's dumb, but towards a person, a little bit different. But stupid is a conscious effort to ignore options, to ignore that which matches observable reality. Now, to their defense, when you have a group of trillionaires, if not quadrillionaires, financing fake observations, scientific data that comes in on a piece of paper that may claim a particular situation, well, that's disinformation, and if they trust those organizations, meaning they don't think for themselves, and quite frankly, everyone should be able to trust their governments. They should be able to trust unbiased, unslanted news. None of that exists anymore. Governments are totally infiltrated worldwide by all levels of criminals. Sometimes they are infiltrated by criminals that have done their deeds in the past and have always look forward to the time when they don't have to use those techniques to exist. Probably very rare. Once you figure out a way to make things work, you tend to keep using those ways. So if you were a gangster and you become a president, you tend to become continue to be a gangster. Which is why some of us like people who have no history of being in that method. And even though they might not be the most refined human being, for the kaleidoscope of people out there listening, we still understand their intent. And sin, in my opinion, is intent. I intend to hurt you, therefore I'm sinning. I didn't mean to hurt you. That was an accident. Well, my bad. I need to learn from that. But it wasn't necessarily a premeditated sin against you. Now, I've done, you know, numerous episodes on pop science topics. I even have one called Pop Science. And it's a platform that we have to disassemble. But I wanted to do this episode because it will take a slightly different angle. We're aware of a lot of bogus science. We're aware of a lot of bogus history. And we are aware of the pundits that they finance into positions of authority who will take a paycheck to destroy the human race. And I actually believe that in some of their demented minds, that to the degree they really hate themselves, it's almost the medicine to get back at society. I think in some rare cases, people feel super enlightened to talk about, you know, extinguishing humanity from the world. But we're strapped to this planet, aren't we? I mean, unless we're in the dream world, unless we're astral projecting, if you're able to do that, I don't think I am, unless a dream is what that is, we're stuck here. So the metaphor I keep throwing out there to you guys in the last 6 months here is the jet. You're on a passenger jet being driven by these stupid experts. They're panicking when they don't need to panic, and they're not panicking when they need to panic. So they worship celebrities that are Satanists, right? They don't panic. I think that's the greatest thing. And they get mad at you when you remind them that these people are showing up to Maria Abramovich parties, cutting cakes up in the shapes of human beings. I was at dinner the other night with a friend of mine. Gwen Stefani's song comes on. Now, we all loved her before she started showing up at Maria Abramovich parties, posing in front of the cake, you know, as if this is great. Totally, total sacrifice of a human being in the form of a, I don't know, $100,000 cake. And so she was kind of tapped into the music, and I said, you know, this is one of them, man. I still like the song, though. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I like probably a lot of products made by a lot of these folks. But I'm slowly changing my ways because I need to get that energy away from me, you know. I have to say, you know, you'll see me recording hundreds of shows wearing my D'Antwoord hoodie. And I got into their music. I got into their videos. I thought they were something extremely original. I mean, they are. The more I listen to lyrics and I look at the symbolism on the album covers, they're done now. They're not going to make any more albums. I don't know where they are. They, you know, he talks about, you know, the mark of the beast, and that was part of his success thing. You know, I just recently realized that that's what he was saying. It's a bummer when you find out that some of these folks that you have adopted into your circle of influence are some of these people, you know? And that's what's happened with a lot of these. I don't even know what we call these Neil deGrasse Tysons, these Bill Nye the douchebag guys. What do we call these people who aren't like Carl Sagan? Carl Sagan believed everything that he said. I don't necessarily believe he was in any weird Eyes Wide Shut party. I think that when you have a person who is falling for the science that you want out there, and he's a very well-educated, very well-delivered person, you just keep funding his shows because he keeps putting it out there, and it's like a freebie, right? Hey, we didn't have to make him drink blood, you know? He doesn't take adrenal hormones, man. It's cool. He just goes out there and destroys Tesla through Faraday's work by constantly uttering the meanderings of one Albert Einstein, a complete and utter fraud. But why do we care about these folks? And where do we see these folks the most? Well, what prompted this episode to actually get into my phone, all I wrote was stupid experts in there, was that I noticed that there is this thing going on, and I've talked about it a little bit in previous episodes, but never totally on point like I'm doing now, which is the following. There has been this new archetype of human behavior. And it took me a while, you know, I was seeing the behavior, and then it took me a while to sort of like mentally profile the people that are engaging in the behavior before I started to see the utter common denominator of their behavior to thus reveal the pattern of their behavior. And I want to make you hip to it. So as you ingest social media, and mainly what I'm saying is your friends' posts, you can start discerning who's who. Now, what's fascinating about the human condition is that people really want to be intelligent/smart. Smart, for those that are new to the channel, is defined in this channel as a memorizer and repeater. It's a very powerful resource, and you must have smarts to then gain intelligence. It doesn't have to be science related, super deep physics and all that kind of stuff. It could simply be you're a farmer, you live in a small town, and you're just watching, you know, the seasons come and go. You're watching crops be turned and, you know, various things. You see people have kids and pay attention to them. People have kids and not pay attention. You see all those things. And you memorize and repeat the correlations and connections, cause and effect models in your mind. Then the next step would be to say, well, honey, you know, say you had a daughter and you watched a bunch of bad car accidents happen inside families, right? And you're like, if you're going to have children, you want to find a good man who you can stay married to for as long as possible, hopefully till death do you part, way down the line. And you're going to have to raise your children from the second they're born, not when they start misbehaving, because then they're already down the wrong track. And you seem like a strange person telling them what they've done up to this point is suddenly a bad thing. But the behavior goes like this. People want to be smart. I don't know exactly where it comes from, because you'll have someone who has a great job, makes great money, great family below them, a great family above them, good friend circles, and somehow it's not enough. They want to be able to engage in a conversation somewhere, phone, backyard, whatever, and somehow dominate maybe with intelligence, not sure, smarts maybe. And so they're attracted to the quest of this thing. And so how do you do it? Well, back in the day, before folks offered you ridiculous things on a plate, one of the first most ridiculous things that was ever offered to mankind was the original model of the Earth, which was that it was on the back of a turtle. When asked what's the turtle standing on, the old woman is quoted as saying, it's turtles all the way down. Down to what? You know, it's infinite turtle stack, right? But if that was actually accepted by society, then that person could hold that tiny little theory of it's on the back of a turtle and seem like the Oracle in the movie Matrix. Around 1969, Stephen W. Hawking finishes his PhD. He resurrects an ancient theory of the Big Bang. Cambridge University has got the publishing power and the overall credibility with the world to announce that that's the way the universe started, even though physics hadn't been tracked back to the Big Bang's actual moment. No explanation for why anything would explode. And once it's all compressed into a massless singularity, I mean, it's just the most ridiculous theory ever. But what happened? Well, your average stay-at-home mom who was raising the kids, while dad was pulling in the single income that they needed to pay all their bills and go on 2 vacations a year, could tell her husband, you know what I found out today? I found out how the universe was started. It's a real simple little story. Have a seat. Oh, I'm already done. There was an explosion. That was it. Oh my God. Did I ever marry the right woman? He says. Today's version of that's slightly more complex, but what has happened is we have these pillars of fake media. And let's just be clear. They are all fake. If they are supported by any major corporation at all, they are all fake. The ones that you think are right-wing are fake. They just play a slightly more relaxed game with the microscopic molecules of your mind to make you think that they're still supporting your team, but you're being totally had. Every single column of fake media engages in trauma journalism. So they'll want you to swallow something that isn't true. And they know that in a traumatic state of mind, your frontal lobe's ability to discern incoming information, depending on how sensitive you are, whether or not you watch this show, they'll report that I just tabbed through the news and there was an article about a guy that dismembered his entire family, his mother and his father. This is a little graphic, but it's the front page news. Okay, let's just let it out. He boiled his mother's head and made a stew, and I guess consumed it. I didn't want to go into the article. He got life sentence today. Okay. Those of you who are against capital punishment for a guy like that, it's like, I don't care if he's mentally insane. Hey, let's not pay for his insanity for the rest of his life. Let's just push reset. That's why reincarnation needs to be something we believe in. Got some bum genes. Maybe he's got a tumor in his head. Who knows, right? Maybe his parents were jerks. But man, taking it to that level. Woo! So that article is in there to make someone freak out, to go into a state of micro fight or flight, to cause the frontal lobes of the brain to lose a little bit of blood, which means thus functionality. those lobes are the difference between us being a mindless, you know, drooling animal when we're hungry to actually being creatures that can make tools, create spoken language, create art. And so they traumatize these, and then they say something next that you're supposed to swallow. Bad guys good, good guys bad. The world's supposed to have 72 degree temperatures around the world, except by the ice caps, and it's supposed to be below zero all the time. Never supposed to change. And the universe just started with a little pop. Okay. Well, isn't it interesting that, as I've said several times on the show, those who research nothing typically claim to be the experts of the world. How poetic that is as the definition of a stupid expert. Let's just make that the definition of a stupid expert. Researches nothing, knows everything. That's the archetype. So what I'm seeing is people going to these repositories of what they have ingested as truth. Every fake news media outlet, every newspaper, every online newspaper, every magazine, and they will, or a pundit, a particular individual sitting off to the side, rambling on, sort of the distillation of all those other outlets. Perhaps they're the writer and creator of some of those outlets. And they will cut and paste something from somewhere else onto their social media site and hit post. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And they are so confidently posting this, even though they really don't know what it says half the time. They certainly don't know any science behind what they're saying. But in their mind, they don't need to. Why? Because they're usurping, in their mind, masterful works of art that are completely true. And thus, they believe that they have snuck in the back door of some honorary degree of pure truth. And when you attempt to go in, which you really shouldn't, you should just let these people be on their own. When you attempt to go in there and add a little bit of clarity, perhaps propose a question that might unravel that post, what are you doing to them? What you're doing to them is you're cutting away their pseudo attempt to seem intelligent and smart to the outside world. Now, if you are intelligent, or you're at least comfortable with whatever you know, and you have a regimen that you take on new information, you know, you're like a person on the Deep Thoughts Facebook page. You are just posting information, trying to see what other people think. You were leaning one way when you posted it, and based on some responses of people that are like you, you might change your mind, you might double down, you might be totally confident that what you did right was mostly true, and that's a healthy regimen. But when you're trying to steal the credit, you are essentially assassinating their attempt to come in at some large level. And that, for them, is heresy. Again, there's a lot of us out there, especially in this year of 2020, we see homelessness sort of on the rise due to the crazy hoax that's going on. And you'll see someone who's, you know, panhandling, and you can tell they haven't really done it before. And those are the people I usually try to help. But there are a few folks in town that have been doing this for 10 years. They stand on the same corner every single day for about 12 hours a day, holding up some sign that they're incapable of working. And I have very little sympathy for those folks because they're career bums. But you look at that and you say, well, geez, if you can stand up for 12 hours, you could probably stand up for 6 to 8 a day and earn a living. And then you have the dignity of a paycheck, well earned. Believe it or not, you'll probably be able to contribute something new to any organization that you end up working for. No matter how old you are, there's some wisdom in your mind that would improve the operations. Maybe a touch the heart, not the body of somebody else, and you uplift them. Maybe a mistake in your life might improve someone else's life. And so there's a lot of us look at that regiment and we go, geez, you're working way too hard for for losing all your dignity and making scraps of cash when you could just go get a job. And the same theory applies to stupid experts. They're lazy. They smoke weed every day in a way that is keeping them lazy and always less than what they are. I mean, how could you put a depressant, a slowdown drug in your body and be the best that you can be? In my Tesla episode 500, I talk about the fact that he had reviewed every stimulant he could get his hands on, because he said, look, you really have to have some sort of minor stimulant in moderation to be your very best, because some days you're going to get good sleep, some days you get bad sleep, but you still got the tasks ready for you the next day. And so most of us are trying to research as much as we possibly can to kind of get a very three-dimensional view on a particular subject matter, so that we can then do what? Just like the old man example in the hometown, watching all these little micro events happening in the hometown, eventually wisdom just comes out of it. You don't even have to participate in the regimen of wisdom. It just happens. You learn, hey, don't do that. Again, I think I told you guys, you know, my dad taught me things were hot by me asking him, is that hot? And he goes, I don't know, touch it. One was a soldering iron. And he let me get a little blister on my finger because he thought, you know, there's no way I can tell you that this is hot and have you have the, or create in your mind and your instincts, the true caution of heat. You need to feel a little bit of pain that won't kill you. No scarring or anything. A little tiny blister on my finger. And then it was at a Mexican restaurant where these ceramic black plates had these steel plates in them, and they were super duper hot. I mean, there's cheese sizzling. I was dumb. I asked my dad, is that hot? I don't know, touch it. Second time, boy, finally it stuck. Never had to ask again, never had to touch again. But now we are seeing the writings of the economic hitman come true in America. A classic, classic play. And what's really funny is, as sort of ironically pathetic, is that you have all these white privileged kids who have super duper low vibration existences. They really want to be smart, but they really don't know how to do it, or smoking weed every day, or whatever they're doing. They simply cannot find a fact if their life depended on it, their next heartbeat depended on them uttering a true statement. God just goes, say one thing that's true and I'll let you live. Boom, they'd be dead. It's just unbelievable. But what was the story of the economic hitman? It technically, people always quote this guy wrong. He said, look, I didn't work for the CIA, but I worked for the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which serves as an investment vehicle, the World Bank. He wrote a book about the fact that he was involved in most of the takeovers in South America. They would organize a militia, charge them up with either true or fake things, didn't matter. They'd rush the leader, get him to leave office. Then they would install an IMF consultant that was already willing to do everything that they needed that leader to do, a new president, which typically involved signing gigantic loans with the IMF / World Bank, of which they knew, technically speaking, it was impossible to ever pay it back in the terms of the contract, meaning a certain timetable, right? For instance, Boris Yeltsin was one of these shills. Raging alcoholic. Who knows what he did in his personal life? They coup out Gorbachev. Now, we did lose the Communist Party in the midst of this, but it wasn't until Putin got in charge at New Year's Eve 1999 that we got rid of the drunk, and they finally started rebuilding, I think, like 30 million of their population that died off. But all of South America was taken over by this mechanism. Create a militia, overthrow the government, install the shills, bankrupt the government, and now you have Venezuela and Brazil that is probably one of the most, or two of the most deadly places to be on planet Earth. So we have a terrorist organization, the United States of America, built out of 100% stupid experts. 100%. They haven't been alive on planet Earth long enough to ingest things. They just haven't. But they talk to each other, and there's this big feedback loop, and they take their personal problems, their personal disenfranchisement, and they feel strange in the universe because they have become a very unique person. I don't know if that's out of persecution or just paranoia. And they're the leaders of these organizations. You see them say, I'm the leader of this organization. And boy, they look like craze balls, man. No big surprise that a sociopath would want to burn the world down. I can't figure out the world, so you can't have it either. My existence sucks, so your existence has to suck. But if you talk to them about some of their movements, which are bogus in many cases, because they don't have any demands, their demands are absolutely absurd, lacking any form of reality, they don't really have goodwill towards men. And they don't know who they're working for half the time. They don't know who they're voting for all the time. But it's not just relegated to our friends in 2020. Now, because of my background, and again, this is sort of hard to put in perspective, but because of my background in the sciences, and because I've been blessed to work with either, you know, peers or bosses, people who are in charge of me, who were bona fide geniuses, and we sit around and talk, it would become apparent that, you know, we're both on the same level, or even some topics I've gone way deeper, but they've gone deep on other things. And so they would introduce me to people that are technically world experts in things. Sometimes it's a parent of a friend. But it was interesting how I had one meeting with a gentleman at a picnic that to this day, I don't understand how it could have occurred. And it was that I was, I forgot what the event was, but my friend's dad showed up, and he was this big physicist. He worked on the collider at Stanford. Pretty awesome. For those of you who don't know, the Bay Area, San Francisco kind of area between San Jose and San Francisco is Stanford University in Palo Alto. And they built a straight collider underneath the highway, because it has to go underneath the highway, and you drive over it every time you go north between San Jose and San Francisco. You drive over it, and my commute was about halfway to San Francisco at the time. I drove over this thing thousands of times, literally. Now, I spent, 15 years of my life, you know, studying and coming up with a unified theory based on the false definition of gravity. But I also combed Stanford University's bookstores, because they had all the good stuff. And I had been just diving into colliders like crazy and finding out the whole history of the Stanford Collider. I mean, I'm probably 3 years into this thing at a very deep level. And so I was very excited to meet this man, because he was very old, but he looked great. He was in his 80s, but he looked like he was like maybe 60 years old, maybe. And I was reiterating to him just recent papers that I had read, papers that were published out of that organization talking about quarks they discovered. And he looked at me after I said, oh, you know, then you're working on this, so I can't wait to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And he got this angry face on his face, and he goes, we're not doing anything like that. It's nothing to do with that at all. And I'm like, what? And then I started trying to cite paperwork, you know, that I just read out of Stanford, out of the university, man. And this guy looks at me and says, you know, like, I was the dumbest person on planet Earth. Now, here's the weird part. I don't mind anybody calling me dumb, stupid, whatever. As long as the next thing out of your mouth is to correct me, right? And to say, okay, well, this dude works there. Let's talk about this, right? Educate me, man. I mean, is it a conspiracy theory? I'm reading the fake stuff that you're supposed to be working on, but you're doing something way more exciting, maybe engineering the Mandela effect. I mean, who knows, right? He wouldn't share another word. And that was the last I talked to him. And that was just sat weird with me. It was like, what could he have possibly been so offended about that he wouldn't talk to me anymore? Like, he was sort of like, yeah, you're so stupid, I won't talk to you anymore. It's sort of the vibe he gave off. I don't know if he was going to see now or whatever the deal was. I don't think so. So you will get very eccentric, bizarre people like that, who I have to assume that without him solving the mystery of his claim, he was definitely an intelligent person. But isn't it weird when you wake up to all this fake science, especially through digging in the science and not just kind of hearing it on a YouTube video or whatever? You study people like Eric Dollard, who reads you the books of the elders of electricity. You know, he does contribute quite a bit of DNA of his own findings, his own research. And again, if you haven't seen the videos that Eric Dollard made in the 80s, where he shows you electrical circuit using, he demonstrates the difference between transverse and longitudinal waves, and ends up creating a circuit that moves electricity through circuits 11 times the speed of light. He measures it right in front of your face. He shows you all the equipment. This is like 86 in a basement. Once you see those things, you can't unsee them. Once you do your research on Einstein and realize that it was a coup, probably started off organically as a guy simply lying, and then when he gets caught, they're like, okay, you're pretty good at this whole thing. Oh, thank you so much. So let's get you on board here. We need to destroy ether out of science. We need to turn gravity into a phenomenon so that no one can figure out how energy is made, because we're going to sell energy. And it's the most bona fide product that man can sell man is energy. Once we became dependent on it. Okay. So in my lifetime, I have been blessed serendipitously at least 50% of the time bumping into geniuses who I will then have incredibly, incredibly detailed conversations over years and years and years. Sometimes following up with them 10 years later and then spending another 5 years with them. Super deep subjects in the sciences, from cosmology to subatomic physics, the whole gamut in between, how the universe is put together at a macro level and how it's put together at a micro level. And so when you have that kind of background and it matches what you discovered from elders of the past, matches 1,000% what you're observing in the real universe, you can start smelling the frauds on TV, frauds put in sitcoms, the frauds cut and pasted into movies to make them famous, so that every time they talk, the stupid experts can't get enough. I'll give you an absurd example. And last time I mentioned this software, it's just a weird example. A bunch of you reached out to me to make sure you figured out what it was called and how to download it, but this project called Terrigen, which I believe is at version 5 right now. It's a product you can download for your computer. It's got an odd spelling. It's like two R's in the middle or something like that. But anyway, if every student in the world, let's just say, had a laptop with a little bit of power in it and could download that software and find themselves watching YouTube videos on how to use the software, sharing information between, having thousands of contests around the world to make the best-looking version of Mars with Terrigen, the belief in the NASA projects as it relates to the JPL-NASA partnership to put rovers on Mars would vanish overnight, because they would realize that what they've been looking at there since the mid-90s when this product was invented, is probably a mixture of actual real world microscopic slicing of rocks. So that looks really real. Why not do it if you can fake it that way? But all these terrains, they're a button press away. It blows me away that people can see these movies that are based on Mars. In the last, in fact, there's television shows that just do an amazing job, man. And they do an amazing job simulating Mars. A friend of mine has just recently become a pretty good expert in this. And he texts me probably about 10 months ago. And he just goes, all the Mars stuff is BS. I said, oh, yeah? And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, I just created Mars Interrogen in like a couple clicks. Because you can't tell the difference. It's like, oh, that's not even his main job. But what happens with these coups? I mean, how does that work? The most painless algorithm of a coup that the world powers love to engage in is the cheapest, fastest means of controlling the largest group of people. Well, since we have adopted, and this is going to sound maybe heresy to you, until you think it a few steps through, it's going to frustrate you once you see the other side of what I'm saying. Once you realize that we have adopted certain forms of government to run our territories, we believe that we have elected a person to represent us. And there's several different stages and they're compartmentalized and they have to work in groups. You know, one stage proves that here in the United States, we have a House and then a Senate and then we have the president. And all three parties have to get it through their system, and the president has to sign it before anything goes into effect. And there's executive orders here and there. Once we have adopted that they control us, that this is the way that we've all agreed. I mean, if you don't, there's chaos, so you got to be careful with the other side of the game. Then all that has to happen for a country to go completely down the toilet is to overthrow the people who run the government. And there's two ways to do that. There's the draconian way of actually telling the people, hey, we are now in control of you. If you step out of line, you're dead. You're out of here. Or to keep from having a revolution where we would get rid of all those people. Just go see the French Revolution, how that's done. In order to make sure that we don't go off the handle, they do it in secret. They throw votes. In America, what they have discovered is the Electoral College in New York and the Electoral College in California is a pretty good staple. If you can keep those two states super duper corrupt, then you can pretty much wiggle all the ones in the middle that no one has ever been to. The majority of the population of America hasn't ventured into the center of America because they live on the coasts. All right, well, you know, hey, Toledo, Ohio had an issue today. Omaha, Nebraska, you know, they voted the other way. We thought they were going to vote this way. I don't even know those hicks, blah, blah, blah. And they looked the other way. Seems organic, seems real. The thing is that we have this fermentation of stupidity in our country, in America. You have to speak for your own country. We have the virus, the true virus that's spreading in America is sheer stupidity. A total lack of history. No historical knowledge of who all the dictators of the world were, what they actually did, and how they did it. Such that we can see the patterns being repeated today, almost like a playbook out of some high school football team. I think it's interesting that there's all this, just to give you an example, there's all this sympathy for China right now. A communistic country. Communism. Let's think about that. Now, North Korea has their own weird communism. It's sort of like a Jesus communism to the Ung family. Whatever. Don't know. Haven't been there. But China remains one of the only countries in the entire world that believes that communism is the way forward. And if you mess with that country, if you speak badly about one of their politicians, they'll come get you and they harvest your organs and you'll end up in a few elite people's bellies, right? But the world seems to think it's a really good idea to empower them with trade, to make sure that that country has trillions and trillions of dollars of power, when we don't want their form of government anywhere around the world as the citizens of the world. But guess who wrote the Marxist doctrine? The very people that want to control the world. An idealistic doctrine that may work on paper, but because man is far from perfect, will never work in real life. What if somebody, you know, you raised their child and they said, child hasn't made any mistakes yet, hasn't really ventured out in the world yet. And they say, Mommy, Daddy, how do I live the very best life I can live? A Marxist would say, well, do everything right your whole life until the very end, and you'll have a great life. Case closed. But a true doctrine of freedom is one of chaos and abstraction, because life comes at us through chaos and abstraction. Life is very rarely a linear thing. It's so much so that way that even our biology is not linear between the two of us, right? Some people are born with congenital illnesses. Since they were born, they have this illness. Some people are diabetic and they have a decade or two cut off of their lifespan unless they get it under control, which you definitely can get it under control. But you're going to have to eat right and exercise. Today's diabetes is mainly, unfortunately, trusting the packaging that tells you that things are healthy. And you overeat sugar to get away from fat. You eat fat to get away from sugar, and you just start to wreck yourself. We believe in medicine that doesn't cure. We watch pharmaceutical companies go after folks with cures to cancer. Again, you can't cure cancer forever. I mean, you can't take one thing and you never catch it ever again. But if you catch it, you can exterminate it, and then you'll have a mechanism when you catch it again. But you probably should look at your regimen to make sure you don't do what you did to get sick. So life isn't some rule book that we can simply just check things off a checklist. And so many of these stupid experts try to do that exact thing. I have people in my family that think that love is a checklist. And so there's no passion, there's no empathy in that game. Oh, they might love you, I guess. But when they try to approach you for a conversation, when they will try to, it's so funny, I've got family members that will try to impose what they believe to be a very deep-witted mind. And the more that they talk, the more they remove all doubt that in their lifetime, they probably will never be accused of being truly intelligent. They might have a decent score on Jeopardy, but they won't pass a Mensa test or a Prometheus test, right? Now, here's the thing. When we aren't manipulated as human beings, it really doesn't matter how extensive your intelligence is, as long as you hit sort of the critical mass of intelligence that allows you to coexist with other people. I was raised in a really tiny town. A lot of very simple people there, wise people. But guess where their wisdom was centered? Their wisdom was centered on the brilliance that made my hometown possible, and they also understood what it took to maintain that beautiful little capsule, almost like a Twilight Zone town that you'd always want to go. Like, was it Willoughby? But now I watch on social media these individuals engaging in massive hyper-narcissism. By the way, that phrase that my buddy gave me on the patio here has become a staple in the lexicon between my friends and I. And it has so assisted in us, you know, sort of categorizing the behaviors around us and also allowing us to sort of police any micro narcissism that we might be doing ourselves, right? So if you wonder how these terrorist organizations in America are able to, you know, first be labeled a terrorist organization and then continue functioning as they always have, it's because there is a sort of a sedimentary rock that is starting to grow throughout the plains of America And it's all these stupid experts that think that heresy is a great thing. Now, you'll hear me use the word archetype a lot. And I got it out of writing screenplays. And I just find it to be a brilliant word that really describes a pattern of behavior, a pattern in a story, an archetype in a story, boy meets girl, girl meets boy, that kind of stuff, right? What this episode is about is identifying the archetypes of stupid experts so that we can do a couple things. One, the name of the game initially in life is for you to gain control over your life. And some of you might have a pretty good list of what that would be right away. You might think financial stability is definitely a good archetype. The problem is that if you gain financial stability by creating a lot of or gauging a lot of criminal activities, okay, then you got a problem. You weren't intelligent about how you created your money. But we're below that. We're now at sort of a subatomic level of human consciousness, where these individuals are trying to engage in a bunch of weird behaviors that we really haven't seen before in bulk. We always have that person who's in our lifetime tried to manipulate us. Could be a relative, could be a friend, could be a lover. And sometimes they're not trying to manipulate you in an absolutely heinous way. But today, in this society we have now, they're trying to guilt trip you for being intelligent by accusing you of not being intelligent because they have cut and pasted something from one of these trusted organizations that differs from your lucidity. Again, they haven't done any research on anything. They don't know if what they're pasting is true or false, but they want to be right and they want to be smart. And more than anything else, they want to be smarter than you. And I think part of the archetype that's going on here, because we have really two generations that I see that most fuel this kind of behavior. You have your youngster who, you know, admires what they believe to be intelligence. But again, because of the way society's put together, because of certain drugs, they don't have any perseverance to get anything done, but they don't like the fact they don't have control of their life. And so again, they're trying to usurp these organizations to the maximum extent so they can sort of get ahead in life by cheating. And the other archetype that's important are people in their 40s and above. I do believe there's like a weird thing in the 30s or 25 to 30, 25 to 40, let's just say, where I believe that people are so busy trying to gauge life that they kind of subtract themselves out of the equation for a little while. But there's the thing called the midlife crisis, right? It has numerous definitions. You know, probably one of the most classic definitions is you start looking in the mirror, and one, your eyes don't work, and two, you realize that your mortality is sort of, it's in sight now, you know. If you're getting to the end of the terrain, is going to be where you have to jump off and die because you can't stop running in that direction, you get worried. But the other big one that I see a lot of is a lot of personal regret. And that's really best itemized by someone who will look back on their life, regardless of how good or bad it was, and they live in the past the whole time. Now imagine, when you look backwards, you have a couple things you can do. You have a lot of things you can do. The most classic archetypes are people saying things like, gosh, you know, if I could just go back to that day, you know, I would change these few things and I'd be a totally different person because I've learned how ignorant I was in the past. Hey, we all do it. Trust me. But one of the most dangerous ones is turning into this stupid expert stuff. In my opinion, are people that say, gosh, I really wish I had become smart. By their definition, they probably are already. Maybe they're intelligent in a really valuable way. They have all kinds of wisdom, but they're not paying attention to that because they already have it. And we know what greed does. Greed means no matter what you have, you want something else. It's sort of that kiss that's about to happen. It's the hoarder that only likes buying the object, but when they come home, it goes in the pile of Walmart bags that they never look in again. Yet they can never get rid of it, right? So imagine being in your 50s. You're not giving any value to your current life. And I'm speaking of this as an archetype because I can name in my mind half a dozen people from my hometown area, regardless if they've moved away, that do this online all the time. And so they don't have time to go get the degree. Maybe they don't have the intelligence to actually get it. Who knows? I mean, I have faith in everybody to be able to get to learn whatever you need to learn, especially nowadays. But they try to cheat. And they do this cut and paste thing. See how smart I am? See how smart I am? You'll have those people that just post memes all day. Not the funny kind, but the kind that are trying to have some profound piece of wisdom. Eh, okay. So maybe a month of that in your friend's feed and you're just kind of like, hey, you know, is this thing on? Are you alive? Because I haven't seen a picture of you. The picture in your profile is either somebody else or it's a picture of you 30 years ago. Where are you right now? Because your profile looks like you're living in the past. You're not contributing anything. If looking intelligent is what your goal was, you have ruined that illusion. Now, I did an episode a long time ago about sort of faux intelligence, which is where I made the separation between smart and intelligent. Being, again, memorizers and repeaters and problem solvers and critical thinkers. What is the forbidden fruit of the 21st century? Well, we've allowed a bunch of corporations to run our communication between each other. Like, we can't communicate with each other besides emailing each other or maybe texting, and Apple's now deleting text messages. Totally confirmed. They're censoring your personal property, right? If I send you a text, it's your personal property on your memory card. But Apple's going in and finding out you're having controversial conversations and they're erasing your text messages. Crazy. But the corporations do not want us to think for ourselves. They want nothing but stupid experts. What's interesting is they haven't really figured out a way to financially reward stupid experts in mass. And so these protesters and what have you, either they're living off their parents, which is about 85, 90% of them, or they're destitute because they've been oppressed in their neighborhoods. And so they're all angry. They all want change. They have no idea how to get it. They know no history. They know no science. And they're mad. I told this silly, silly story a long time ago, an episode probably 300 or 400 episodes ago. But I was like 18, 19 years old. And I'm hanging out with these two brothers in their teens. So we're kind of all, you know, intellectually the same age. But there was like a 13-year-old kid. Brilliant little kid, man. But I think it was something to do with, like, the conversation came up about microwaves or something. And I had just learned how they work. I mean, how do they, you know, in fact, my definition was probably the loosest thing you could possibly imagine, not even scientific, or deeply scientific. So I said, oh, hey, guys, you know how that works. Da, 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 da. And we were walking from their house to my house. It was about a country block. So I thought, hey, we're just rattling off something. It's not like I'm in their face. Hey, but you see how that works. But this kid, this 13-year-old, starts acting weird towards me, like immediately. I was like, hey, dude, what's up? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm Mark Lowe. I'm a know-it-all and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so you were offended like 50 feet ago when I told you how a microwave worked? That bothered you that I said that? His dad's an electrical engineer. His dad designs PC boards on his lazy boy at night. He's a genius, right? The whole family's really smart. And so I'm kind of going, you live in a scientific home. Why is this offending you? And he felt like I was being a narcissist. From his perspective, I get it. I was being a narcissist from his perspective. And this is where I kind of chilled out all that stuff and only spoken to kind of thing about those things. Someone asked me how something works, I'll tell them if I know, whatever. But what that revealed for me was a sensitivity, a very fundamental sensitivity out of a 13-year-old boy. And I find more value when young people react to things than when older people react to things sometimes, because I feel like it's more fundamental to our instincts. And I made the episode that it got demonetized by itself, which was called Playground Wisdom. And I talked to you guys about the fact that the playground is full of all kinds of lessons that if you pay attention, they seeped into your future. You saw kids behave certain ways on playgrounds, being selfish, greedy, considerate, nice, helpful, not helpful. And when you watch those people, a big giant percentage of them continued in those behaviors their whole life. It's phenomenal how much evidence is right in front of us at all times. But we have some big things on the horizon, right? Luckily, I'm seeing a tremendous awakening in terms of Agenda 2030 / Agenda 21. 21 again referring to 21st century. People are still super ignorant about the Georgia Guidestones, which talks about the huge depopulation, of which buried inside of the Agenda 21 documentation describes a 97% reduction of population on planet Earth. And the real way that they have discerned that, just in case you guys are like, well, I don't know if I believe that that's true. Okay, so what they have discovered inside the Agenda 21 documentation are these world maps of where humans will be allowed to live and where we won't be allowed to live. We're only going to be allowed to live in these major metropolitan areas, and all the countryside of the entire world is all wiped clean with staff that are policing those areas of the world to make sure no one ever lives there. So you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to live in the woods, man. When they come after everybody, I'm just going to go live in the mountains. Like, no, you won't. There'll be helicopters that'll find your heat signature and they'll come get you if they don't kill you first and let the animals sort it out. So when they count up how many people could live in these metropolitan areas, the number is teeny tiny compared to what we have on Earth now. So the reason why I mentioned that is that how many times have you, you know, been in a social situation in your lifetime? Maybe you go to church and there's a weirdo in church who talks a lot. Maybe sings really badly in front of people. There's no mental illness there. They're just weird. Maybe there's mental illness, but it's not what we classify as, you know, hospitalized mental illness. And you just go, yeah, that's Earl over there. You know, we just tolerate him. He's just a really strange guy. Don't know if he's hurting anybody or not. You know, we keep an eye on him. Don't let him get around the kids or the ladies. And you can do that in a small community. Unfortunately, today, because the disease of the stupid expert is being absolutely spawned and converted by these fake media organizations, these fake science institutions, these, you know, how many colleges in the world actually give you a degree that's attached to a real job? Maybe your super Ivy League schools have a pretty good record still. Harvard's got a good record. Not too many people graduate from Harvard and starve after that. But most of these state colleges, oh, they're just atrocious, man. They'll give you a degree in anything you can make up. It's almost like you could go to a state college and have like a big wall of like, you know, corkboard behind just words. And you can just throw darts at three words and they'll just combine those three words and give you a degree. It's crazy. Charge you $100,000 for it or more. Then they crash the economy with hoaxes and you got these student loans that are piling up. And then they've created this problem where they give you a crappy education, you can't get a job, they crash the economy so you can't pay the loan, and then what do? They create a political party that will claim, can't actually financially pull this off, but they'll claim they're going to zero out everyone's student loans. Okay, well, if everyone forgives the loan, we can do it. So if a college forgives the loan, the bank forgives the loan, then this government forgives the loan, then yeah, you can do it. Totally great. But if anyone's going to get paid, then we can't do it. We don't have enough money. So they're harvesting these stupid experts into political affiliations, both official and non-official, terrorist organizations. And if you're a parent or a grandparent of some child that is, say, under 25, it could extend way past 25, but definitely over 25, or under 25, excuse me, then they're coming after your kids. And unless you stay really engaged with your kids, they understand your kids way better than you do. They know the triggers to push. They know because they researched it and they've created it. They've even researched it before they hatched the thing that made your kid feel horrible about themselves. Indoctrinating the minds to deny the physical biology of the human body so that we have more than two genders. Wow. If anybody told us that 40 years ago, no one would believe that that was even possible. And now, was it Trudeau passed a law that if you don't call someone by the identification that they have made up in their psychotic minds, that you can go to jail, get charged a fine? The EU recognizes 72 genders. Do you realize that if I took any of you listeners, anyone, I think anyone in the world, including everyone in the EU itself, I could take Angela Merkel, strap her to a chair, put a gun against her head and say, name all 72 genders, or I'm going to pull this trigger. No one would be alive after the game. But they got laws that you have to call everyone by what they come up with. Stupid experts. Bill Nye the Douchebag Guy did an episode a long time ago explaining boys and girls, and now he did an episode saying he was wrong and that there's a bunch more than boys and girls. Okay. Where's the insectoid aliens that we have to acknowledge are asexual? You know, what is this, you know? It's an infectious disease created by suffering and fear. I was watching some video the other day, and I can't remember if it was a show on TV or if it was like a documentary on YouTube or something. But I was reminded of an old phrase, which I think is extremely important, which is fear is the mind killer. And not only does the saying kind of sound interesting, but it is absolutely the mind killer. Remember I told you about trauma journalism? I did an episode on it back in, I think, season one or two. They shock your mind with some horrific information of which you do not need to know. Think about the story I mentioned. The guy dismembered his father and mother and cooked his mother's head in some stew. That doesn't need to be publicized by anyone, anywhere, ever, except for the people that are affected by it. Maybe they deserve more information. A police officer had to pick up that mess. Family members that are wondering where their relatives are, they need explanations. Doesn't need to be an international story, does it? But it's shoved in your face all the time. What's interesting is that the other thing that I'm seeing become more and more true, because you'll hear this theory, you guys have already heard this, I'm going to repeat it, that repetition is the simplest form of brainwashing. The other way of looking at repetition is the simplest form of brainwashing is to realize that if you can't beat them, join them. Stockholm Syndrome, of which I've done an episode about. It's sort of, you can't beat them, so you join them. You've been captured by someone. You can't break free. Well, you can choose to fight them every day, which is going to make every day officially horrible. Or somehow, you can convince yourself that the daily torture that you receive by this nutbag is, you know, it's not so bad. Just, you know, get into it. The other thing that I've mentioned a couple times, and I want to repeat it a few times, and probably for the end of, until the end of the year or until it stops, is that in America, we have two political parties. I'll let you discern who I'm talking about. One party, when they post social media posts, will be, hey, I made this really cool casserole. Hey, look at my kid. They're going to school for the first time. Hey, my kid's graduating from the military or whatever. It's like life things. It's positive sharing of their life. And the other group of people who belong to the other party in their mind are always posting things to control you, to guilt trip you, to make you fearful if you don't follow their ways, because they're fearful of not following these aristocratic ways. Socialism in itself is usually largely fueled by fear. Old people who are into socialism are usually folks that have been living off their parents, or they're realizing that age discrimination is real. They're supposed to work in America until you're 70 years old. Like, man, if you told me where I live today, I had to today, in the whatever amount of hours the businesses are open, I've got to go to businesses randomly. Any business I want, I got a full tank of gas. I got to find someone who's 70 years old, who's still working and producing a wage that actually pays the bills at home without any Social Security, without anything else. I would think I would fail if I had to find five in one day. Maybe I go to a law firm or something where you kind of have some older employees, maybe some state agencies, maybe. I don't see anyone working that old around here. I've had some good friends of mine who are very famous people for doing some very amazing things. And they had all their possessions removed from them because of the 2008 crash. All their savings gone, all their investments gone. And they're literally in debt up to their eyebrows. They might have a little tiny retirement pension at some company, but it's teeny tiny, like $2,500 a month, which would barely pay for a home in Southern California. Then if they hit 70 and they get their full take, another $2,500 comes in, they get $5,000 a month. So maybe they can sustain. Not going to go a whole lot of vacations unless they move in with their kids. Well, some people are really into that. My family is not. But that's going to build up a lot of, you know, fear. And what if the person's healthy? They're going to live to be 90 something years old. Well, the pension's going to run out at some point. Social Security will continue. But is that a dignified way to live when they've invested a tremendous amount in society? They've really given to society. Maybe they still have great ideas, but no one will employ them because there's age discrimination. We've lost our way. And what's really sad to me is when society can be easily disrupted, this 2020 thing, there are hundreds of thousands of small businesses around the globe that just shut their doors for the last time. Some of them institutions have been going for a long time, and they were going to pass it down to their kids, but they can't because no one's still allowed to show up and go inside their place. And they don't recognize that the groups that they worship are the groups that made the phone calls to create this hoax. And of course, those who created it are blaming the people that tried to stop it. And then they die in the middle of this crap show, if you will. You know, I apologize for mentioning this more than once, but you know, I had a real good friend of mine pass away last year. He was a very amazing man. And he passed away a couple days after Christmas. And we buried him about a month later. And because we had to get him cremated, and that was going to take a little while. And it was all before this craziness had occurred this year. Now, his partner's having to live through this craziness. But he's doing a great job. But part of me is like, I'm glad he got out of here before this all happened. Even though I do believe that perhaps after he leaves, he discovers all this is going to happen, whatever. And maybe he chills out for a little while helping some of us out. But anyway, these moments in time that are sensationalized up to the point that people die. And this year has been a very sad year in suicides. My family, in the sort of the married inside of the family, we've had an 18-year-old girl take her life by taking a bunch of antidepressant pills all at the same time. 18 years old, man. Now, she had the pills because she was having issues, but I don't know all the news about that situation. I would imagine that this year, if she had had any, you know, clinical issues, like biological issues that were plaguing her, then we know these drugs are the worst drugs you can get on because they replace the chemicals in your brain that stabilize you. And then if you vary your regimen, you can go into complete suicidal death spiral. This girl will never have kids. She'll never be married. Everything that she could have been has been terminated. Now, I do believe she's in a great place, and I believe that at her choosing, she can come back and do this again. Better time, better place. She had great parents, great family around her. So the attrition that those of us who are battling this mess to the best of our ability, we all have limited capabilities to doing stuff, so we do as much as we can. Word of mouth is probably the biggest thing you can do. But we can't control our kids. We don't want to control our kids. Again, you might be a grandparent with grandkids, and so, you know, depending on how your family's configured physically, location-wise, you may not have any influence over your kids, and so you want your kids to live great lives, perhaps the one that you lived, but now you're looking at stupid experts running around the world like Chicken Little saying the sky is falling constantly because some fake news column told them that that's the case. And they could be the mezzanine. They could be your kid who's freaking out your grandkid to the point that they might hurt themselves fatally. I don't think that was the case in my particular situation, but it's happening. So I want to make you hip to this archetype. Watch people on social media. I think, quite frankly, if you have even 100 virtual friends on social media, especially Facebook, you can just go right after this episode, tab into your home feed, and with what you've learned in this episode, if you didn't already know it, you can go, oh, there's one. There's one. There's one. Oh, that's interesting. This person's trying to control me from their home. This person's showing me they went on a boating trip yesterday or over the weekend. Oh, that is right. Yeah, that one's in that political party and that one's in that political party. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, the fundamental difference, and this has been going on for ages. I just started watching Rowan Atkinson's old show on BBC called Not the 9 o'clock News. And they were making fun of these archetypes, which was really back in the 70s and early 80s. But one group has always been big government controlling you. And one group has been, get rid of these people who don't know anything about me, who are trying to create a one-size-fits-all solution for the world, which never works. That's Marxism. That's socialism. And we realize, because we've typically experienced more of life. That's what I find out when you smoke cigars at a lounge or you've got a group of buddies, and they can smoke a stick at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because they're self-employed. Once you're self-employed, you've lived more life than most people on planet Earth. And if you're self-employed, you know that for a fact. Even if you've been self-employed and you're not self-employed by choice, you know you've lived both sides of the coin. And you'll typically have very similar conversations. And I think we have to disrupt that. We have to disrupt this look the other way thing. Do you realize that right now on planet Earth, because we are so worried about everyone's emotions and everyone's feelings, of which are completely dynamic and the scale is never the same, the spectrum of what defends one person versus another person is never alike. We can let a country overpopulate in this world and take over the whole planet because it would be offensive for us to call them on the phone and say, hey, knock it off. You know, you're screwing too much. Sorry. Get that shit under control, because you can't take over the world just because you procreate too much and you're spreading your people all over the planet. You have plenty of land. You're not even spreading in your own land. You get phantom cities that can house almost 1 billion people, but you're farming them all over the place. You can't take over the world just because you screw too much and just because you claim you're offended if I happen to recognize that the emperor has no clothes on. And there's a million of those things going on. Anyway, I hope you dug the episode. I'll be recording season 6 episodes as all these frames render. And I'm looking at a render right now. It's going to take probably 3 days. 3 days. And it's like about 65 frames of animation. Unbelievable. So I'll try to see if I can't speed that stuff up with some other techniques. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a great year. We are going to start pouring these episodes out like crazy. So I'm going to try to get a chunk done before New Year's to pay you guys back for having the patience to wait for me. If you haven't gone to deepthoughtsradio.com, that's the place to go. That's where you can find everything, even episodes that you can't find anymore. So we've got two reliable video sources, YouTube and BitChute. We've got all the podcasting you could ever want. We've got social media, which is typically Facebook, Twitter, and then we've got Minds.com and Gab.com. I try to get on the Parler, but you know, it's just a weird platform. I'm not really excited about it. There's an all-new remastered season 1, which causes a little bit of confusion for folks. If I mention an episode and you search in the channel, you can't find it. That's why you want to search on all the episodes at Deep Thoughts Radio. And I've actually, for those of you who go there often, you'll realize that in the last month and a half, I've sped everything up. For any of you WordPress fans, never, ever, ever, ever install Jetpack. It slows your server down 10 times. And I had like 20 copies on the server, so I threw them all off the server, and now all the sites are super fast. You have a few ways to donate to the page, and I just want to say a huge shout out to everyone who's been so generous. I mean, I just got another PayPal today. I just so appreciate it. And I'm very transparent about the money I generate. So, you know, from time, if I settle a wallet somewhere, I'll actually announce it on the episode. So if you just listen to all episodes and write it all down, you'll know every penny I've ever made. I think the YouTube channel, before it was demonetized, I think it grossed about $1,600. That was over 6 years. So, you know, obviously censorship right now is just off the chain. So I just went to a channel to research ancient mysteries and that kind of stuff, talking about pyramids and stuff. And the guy was demonetized. So I'm going, okay, wait, did he have a conspiracy video or something? And other than suggesting that archaeologists have gotten things wrong and suggesting that history had it wrong, and not in any heavy-handed way. In fact, his episodes are incredibly boring. He never really reveals anything super deep. If you've done any research on other channels, the guy was demonetized. Wow. So their reach is getting more and more intense to make sure that you just can't wake up in any artery in the world, which is why we have to find alternatives and put these guys out of business. So when the lawsuits come around, you know, and they're like, hey, maybe there's an antitrust thing here, a monopoly there, you got to get on board with those and support the push until they're wiped out or they're corrected, you know. Because like Marshall McLuhan said, the medium by which you receive messages or information is more important than the information itself. And that's because certain methodologies can make you believe things are real that aren't real, thus forging stupid experts. Anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.